This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We're live.
Bismillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum everyone. And yet another brief episode of going through some beautiful things we find in the book by Dr. Fadl Salih Al-Samirai, At-Ta'bir Al-Qur'ani, Qur'anic expression. So today's example is going to be, I think it's a really beautiful observation that he made about Allah. A lot of people have this age-old, you know, philosophical question about Allah, and that is that Allah guides whoever he wants and he misguides whoever he wants. So how is it any person's fault, right? Because he decides everything. And so it's just this question of predestination and human will. And there's long-winded philosophical, logical, rational, textual arguments to help you understand what the Quran has to say about that. But sometimes the Quran says something through its language that is so simple and straightforward, and it just gets the Quran's point across. Like, you don't have to have chapters and chapters on philosophical abstract discussions to understand how does Allah guide and misguide. You can just pay attention to the language and some amazing realities will come forward. So in the last few episodes, guys, I've been telling you about the differences between nouns and verbs. So the first really interesting thing to note is that Allah, when he talks about himself being a guide, so let's think about the English words. Forget the screen. Guide is a person who guides, right? Is a guide. And a misguider is a person who misguides, right? And those are both nouns. They're both isms. Guide and misguider, right? Allah uses the word guide for himself all the time. One of Allah's names, Al-Hadi, the guide, right? He never uses the word misguider. He never uses that word. So when it comes to guiding, it's as if that is a permanent quality of Allah. But when it comes to misguiding, the word is used, but it's only used as a verb. As a fi'l. A fi'l is what by definition?
A fi'l, past, present, future tense.
Temporary. Yeah. Right? In other words, if Allah does decide that somebody should be misguided, that is going to happen in certain cases. Mm-hmm. But Allah guiding is a constant. Yeah. Because Allah uses that as a noun for himself, not just a verb. Mm-hmm. Right? So the first observation is this, and it's a very important one, that Allah's guidance is a constant gift being awarded to humanity. And for someone is actually a very specific particular case. Then there's more. And here's where I want you to go to the screen. There's too many ayat to write out. So I'm going to just take an example ayah and show you what he's doing. So let's go to the ayah. Can you show it on the screen, Jawad? Yeah, thank you. كذلك, so this is a sample ayah. There's many. So كذلك يضل الله من هو مسرف مرتاب. كذلك means that is how. يضل الله, Allah allows misguidance, or Allah misguides, even if you want to have a raw translation. Allah misguides anybody, من هو مسرف مرتاب, anybody who's excessive and filled with doubt. Now, يضل, you guys are students of Arabic, mashallah. يضل, what do you think? Ism, madi, mudari, or amr? Ism, madi, mudari, or amr? Madi would have ended with...
No, it's...
Wait, Mariam, think through it. Think through it. You got this. A mudari starts with what?
Yeah.
Yudillu.
That's mudari.
Because...
It starts with yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty good. It's okay, you're fasting. Okay, so yudillu, mudari, present tense. That is how Allah, if you want to have a raw translation, that is how Allah misguides. Sounds inappropriate, but we'll fix it in a second. Anybody who is musrifun, ism, madi, mudari, or amr. Ahmed?
Ism.
Yeah, the tanween gave it away. Murtabun.
Ism.
So Allah is doing something and that's a fi'l. The person Allah is allowing for misguidance to happen is being described in these two ways, and both of those ways are isms or fi'ils?
Isms.
They're isms. So, if you to make an observation, the misguiding is a verb, which is again temporary, right? Temporary, and there's another important consideration, limited. Okay. And then, who is he misguiding? Excessive person and a person of a doubtful person. Okay. These are both nouns. Okay. Which means they are permanent. And unlimited. Unlimited meaning, what is he excessive in? Is he excessive in spending? Is he excessive in anger? Is he excessive in arrogance? It's all kinds of excessive. Everything about him is excessive. Is he doubtful about Allah? Doubtful about his mercy? Doubtful about, puts himself in doubt about everything. And what Allah is saying is, when he finds a human being that has become like this permanently, they weren't just excessive one time, so Allah decided to misguide them. They became an excessive person. They became the ism. They became it. That became their identity. They weren't just doubtful once in a while. They just walk in doubt. That's just how they define themselves. They love, you know, there's some people who are addicted to doubt. You know that? Like every time you say something, are you sure though? I'm not sure. They love that I'm not sure. It makes them feel superior to be in doubt all the time. Right? It makes them feel like an intellectual high. What is Allah saying? When a person makes this their permanent quality, then Allah might intervene and allow them to stay that way by allowing them to be misguided. Notice how he used the fi'il for himself and he used the ism for the culprit. Similar ayat. كَذَلِكَ يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الْكَافِرِينَ You heard yudillu from me? Just listen carefully. كَذَلِكَ يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ Did you hear the mudari' again?
Yeah.
Allah is using a fi'il for misguiding, for himself. Yeah? But then, الْكَافِرِينَ الْكَافِرِينَ Ism or fi'il?
Ism.
An ism. Disbelievers. Not those who disbelieved, but people who are permanent in their disbelief. Fine. Basically, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى We allow him to turn in the direction that he wants to turn into. Another, this imagery is important. I talked about it in Divine Speech many years ago, but you guys should remember it. Okay, this is something I'll bring up over and over again because it's a principle, it's a philosophy in the Quran that everybody should know. Allah says, "Am abramu amran fa inna mubrimun." This is a really heavy ayah, but let me tell you something. You know, nowadays when we have construction, we need cement. Why? What's the purpose of cement? Can you guys tell me?
It keeps stuff together.
It puts the bricks together, right? Let me take the screen away for a moment. It puts the bricks together and then it fixes them together, yeah. Right? And then the other way that you can put things together is you can nail them together, you know, screw them together, drill them together,
yeah.
Or you can weld them together, like melting metal and welding the metal, right? Those are ways in which construction materials are bonded together, right? And those connections, they're not like tying your shoe. Because when you tie your shoe, you didn't permanently tie it. You tie it in a way that you can what?
Untie
it later. But when the welder welds two pieces of metal together, or the bricklayer, you know, puts the bricks and puts cement together, his intention is storm, rain, you know, accident. These things should stay exactly where they are. And actually, people's lives will depend on it. Construction has to be very sturdy and permanent, right? So nobody, unlike building Legos, in construction, when you build something, you build it for permanent, like, you know, constantly it's going to stay what it is, right? Back in the day, they didn't have the most advanced kind of cement in Arabia. And they didn't have welding the way we have welding now. They didn't have the long and, exhaustive kinds of metal tools to do big kinds of nailings. You can nail planks together and stuff. But what about big columns, right? And instead of columns in a building, they used to use barks of trees and large pieces of lumber, right, for their construction. Because you know how construction first looks like a skeleton and then you fill it in the walls and all this stuff? So when they make that skeleton, the way they would keep two big pieces of lumber together is they would tie them together, which is scary because when you tie it, what can happen to the rope?
Untie.
It could untie. So they would, you know, they would make the rope. They would take a rope and they would double it and they would coil it. You see how the rope has those loops on it?
Yeah.
right? Why did you do that? Because a single rope can snap, but a coiled rope is much stronger, yeah. right? So they would coil the rope and they would wrap it around the lumber this way, wrap it this way, tie it up, get another coiled rope, wrap it on top of that, wrap it on top of that, tie it up, get a third one, wrap it on top, tie it up. In other words, they would use so much rope to put the two columns together that these things aren't coming apart because the rope will hold because there's multiple coils and there's multiple wrappings and there's multiple ropes involved, right? So because this process was called Abrama, okay? This is the word Allah used to describe certain people. Well, I'll give you this whole story about construction and tying the rope and all of that. Why? Because Allah said, "Am abramu amran," have they tied the rope when it comes to the decision that they won't become Muslim? Is that what they've done? Meaning somebody's not a believer, right? They were exposed. The Prophet ﷺ showed them the Quran, exposed them to the message, showed them his character, right? They see the truth for what it is, but they've made up their mind. No matter what, I don't want to hear it. I have already tied up this rope. It's permanent. I'm going to be who I'm going to be. I'm not going to become a believer. I don't want to be. I'm going to be a disbeliever permanently. And how are they describing the permanence of their disbelief? The tying of that construction rope that is meant to never come apart. Then Allah says, fine, we'll tie it too. You want to tie it? You want to put all those knots? I'll add a knot. Fine. This is Allah's principle for misguidance. It's not a mysterious, oh, Allah misguides whoever he wants. No, Allah describes in the Quran, people that want to become permanent, fixed, tied up, cemented, welded in their behavior. And Allah knows their hearts have been welded. He knows that more than anybody. He didn't make their hearts like that. He didn't say, Allah made their hearts this way. No, he says, they showed me that they want to stay like this permanently first. And they demonstrated from their depths of their hearts that they want to stay this way. Then Allah says, fine, Allah will seal your heart. You want to keep it that way? You want to seal it yourself? I'll add the final seal on top. Allah never took somebody who's fluctuating and then said, nope, they deserve a seal on top. That's not what he does. And that's why whenever Allah talks about misguidance, he talks about people that are like hell-bent on staying that certain way. This is why... over and over again in the Quran, whenever Allah mentions the misguiding, you'll find the people that He misguides are وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا not الَّذِينَ فَسَقُوا but إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. He doesn't misguide anybody except those whose corruption has come out and they're permanent, they're fixed in their corruption, right? So this is actually a really beautiful way to understand that first of all, Allah's guidance is permanent. And the only time Allah's permanent guidance is lifted from certain people is when their decision to stay in misguidance becomes permanent. That's when that happens. It's really beautiful how Allah solves that, what we think is a totally mysterious problem, with this small insight. This just small, the way Allah describes Himself when it comes to this subject. So may Allah Azza wa Jal help us appreciate that and not make assumptions about Allah that aren't fair to Him, that aren't true of Him. And that I pray for all of you that are learning or that are maybe for those of you that are intimidated by the idea of learning Arabic, I pray that Allah removes that intimidation from your hearts because Allah Himself said He made the Quran easy, which means everything about the Quran will become easy. I'm not an Arab and I have not traveled to Arabia to study Arabic. I have not sat under a tree with a camel trying to, you know, lick the back of my head while I'm trying to learn Nahu. That's never happened. I learned Arabic in Queens.
New York.
People, one time I gave khutbah and somebody said, "Ya Sheikh, where are you from?" I was like, "Al-Quinzi."
Al-Quinzi.
I'm Sheikh Al-Quinzi. Well, I'm not a Sheikh. I was like, where do you graduate from? I was like, "Milk, Sheikh." Dad jokes galore. He's like, "What? What city is Milk?" I was like, "Yeah." By the ice cream place right here.
Yeah,
the point is, y'all can learn. It's not hard. It's really not. It looks like, oh my God, there's so many words in Arabic. How are you going to know that? Calm down. It'll happen one day at a time. Nobody's asking you to become like a grammarian or an expert or whatever. But if you put in the intention, Ya Allah, I want to understand your word directly, then understanding the Quran and everything around the subject of understanding the Quran, its recitation, its memorization, Arabic, all of that one bit at a time will come. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبْقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. You're gonna progress one step after the other. It's just gonna happen. And just trust Allah and do it. And you don't have to impress anybody. You're not in competition with me or Ahmed or Maryam or anybody else. You're in competition with yourself. Are you and I, am I showing to Allah that I'm journeying in His book? That's it. That's all that matters. And look at the treasures that unlock. Wallahi, like, I was a student of philosophy in college before I turned towards Islam, right? I took a bunch of philosophy courses. I was addicted to philosophy courses. Philosophy of religion, philosophy of ethics, political philosophy, Western philosophy, Greek philosophy, Asian philosophy, Zoroastrian philosophy. I mean, philosophy. It was my thing.
You're philosophized.
I was so philosophized. And agnosticism was like so attractive to me, right? And when I got into Quran studies, like, because philosophers write in very abstract, difficult vocabulary language. It's actually pretty complex language. Aristotelian language is not easy. Platonic language is not easy. In fact, even the Christian theologians like Thomas Aquinas or St. Augustine, whatever you have, even in English literature of their works, the theologians before the Muslims or even early Islam times, it's heavy reading. It's abstract reading. And the ilm al-kalam on our side is not simple reading. It's complex reading. But the Arabs of the desert were not, they had philosophy. They did. They were complex thinkers. But Quran came, it's one of its miracles, is instead of using what I call PhD language and using like really complicated language, Allah would take something so philosophically complex and make it as simple as a noun and a verb. And in it, the entire reality of the subject, the heart of it is being captured, and a person says, yeah, that makes sense. Just basic common sense. One of the earliest criticisms people had of philosophers had of Islam was that it's too straightforward. It's too direct. Because they like going in loopy circles. Yeah. Right? And the Quran is very direct in its claims and how it establishes the truth, and it doesn't beat around the bush. It's just straightforward. You know, it doesn't speak in hypotheticals. And it's beautiful. The more directly you get connected to the language, the more that becomes clear to your thinking. The fog from your thinking starts disappearing. And you just have this relieving aha. Because, you know, so as I talk to Muslims, I realize, and Muslims, many of you are annoyed that I do lectures in Urdu, but those Urdu lectures have been an eye-opener for me, man. They have been an eye-opener for me. Because I'm realizing, and I'm talking to other people from like different Muslim countries, we Muslims, the majority of us, we don't have any idea how to think like the way the Quran wants us to think. We don't have a clue. We have beliefs and ideas and concepts about Allah, about the Prophet, about the unseen, that have nothing to do with Islam. Nothing. And when I don't even feel like we should correct it because they need to be guided. I feel like these people should be given relief, because what the right beliefs are actually a breath of fresh air. And what people have developed as these notions about Allah are so heavy. They're so, like, if somebody actually believed that, they would be miserable. And they are miserable. And Quran came to give us relief. And the crazy thing is Muslims, in Muslim majority societies, don't have the relief that Allah is offering, right? So it's shocking to me. It's absolutely shocking to me. So it's been a real eye-opener. And, it's not just, Muslims in the West don't know much and they're westernized, or their kids didn't go to an Islamic environment, that's why they don't. No, that myth is gone for me. That's like Muslims in the Ummah, the vast majority of us do not know. We need to come back and we need to be exposed to this لِيُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah wants to lighten your burden for you. That's, we need to lighten our burden by coming back to Allah's word. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make it easy for all of us to lighten our burden and to lift our hearts with His Quran. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla not make us of those who are fixed in misguided behavior, that we deserve Allah's misguidance on us. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla always make us of those that He gifts us with His guidance, despite our shortcomings. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Guys, remember, do your best and Allah will do the rest.